You're listening to Humanitarian Radio with your hosts, Tony St. Tone and Janie Beauclair.
Good afternoon and welcome to this edition of Humanitarian Radio. I am Janie Beauclair.
And I'm Tony St. Tone.
And hey, we're welcoming our friends and our family. And if you are a first-time listener to our show, we're happy to have you. We are a feel-good show shouting out some good news from around the world. And you can expect some great positive music by St. Tone, as well as some great innovative guests every week. And see what's going on around the USA with our events calendar.
Today's guest is Gillette Jai from the Jai Institute of Parenting. She has some really interesting tips to talk about parenting, and definitely want you guys to check this out.
So it's been a really interesting world in the product world this week. We've our business Artistic Journey does all kinds of products, and we just joined forces with a group called Gen X, G-E-N-X. Gen X is an energy drink that is really actually healthy. It's full of vitamin B and all kinds of other things. But the reason I bring it up and the reason we wanted to join forces with them is because they are really on the cutting edge of all kinds of things that are happening in the energy drink world. But we've also have some studies going on in how this product can help children with autism, people with diabetes, assist with some versions of just a variety of different body illness. So it's very intriguing to me that this brilliant scientist who created this product has recognized how putting vitamins into a drink can really assist young children and families and people who are struggling with a variety of different things. So we are delighted to get behind Gen X. And speaking of Gen X, we're going to introduce them to the San Francisco Fire. San Francisco Fire, you might remember, we did a big interview with them last year. They are a grid match group, CrossFit trainers. And it's an international league that NBC follows, so you can watch it on NBC Sports. But the San Francisco Fire, they have men and women compete against each other. And the age brackets go like just about up to like 55 years old, men and women. And I'm interested in introducing them to Gen X because I think that they would be phenomenal spokespeople for such a great product that's going places and doing things for people.
Yeah, one of the cool things about Gen X is that it actually uses real sugar and it doesn't have any aspartame.
That's right. And so it also uses citric acid for sodium instead of salt,
yeah,
which is a whole different twist on how it reacts to your body. So yeah, very cool stuff. Check it out. Also, the San Francisco Fire, you might remember my cousin Buddy Hitchcock is on the team. They are doing their semifinals. It's that time of year. And they'll be down in Anaheim in the next 2 weeks. So we are very excited about that. We also have a big event coming 2 weeks from yesterday.
That's right. On September 19th, we are doing the International Day of Peace Concert Mixer. And that is going to benefit Mike Precise. He has a rare eye disease and he is legally blind. And if he doesn't get this taken care of, he's going to be fully blind. But we are stepping in and we have some great guests that are helping us out. We have David Meltzer, who you might know from Sports One Marketing. He has a TV show on Fox Sports.
And he's also a partner with Warren Moon for you football fans.
Yep, and we also have Sherry Watson, and you might remember her. She is a nonprofit expert. And Janie Beauclair, our very own Janie, is going to be speaking. She is going to be speaking about product marketing. She's been doing this for 20 years, so she definitely has a lot of experience in that. The band St. Tone's going to be performing. We're going to have a live auction from Pacific Auction, refreshments, a bunch of other booths, gift bags, red carpet. It's definitely going to be a fun event. It's Saturday, September 19th from 4 p.m. to 9 p.m. It's business attire. Go to our website, check out our events page. It's actually going to, there's a tab there that says September 19th events, and you can learn all about it.
Yeah, and if you can't make it, just hop on there and do a little donation for Mike. It'd be great for us to do this for him, make something like amazing miracle happen for this guy so that he can see his children the way we get to see our children.
Especially before the holidays. I think that would be awesome.
What a beautiful thing. We're going to make this happen. We need your support. We can't do it on our own. We're counting on all you guys. So join in, do a fabulous humanitarian thing, and change the life for not only this gentleman, but his whole family.
Well, when you hear that sound, you know it is time for our quote of the week.
The positive thinker sees the invisible, feels the intangible, and achieves the impossible. I'll say that again. The positive thinker sees the invisible, feels the intangible, and achieves the impossible. Now, there's a photo with this caption, and it shows two fish bowls, one next to the other, and one is empty, and the other one has one fish in it, and that one fish is jumping out into the other bowl. So that fish is a positive thinker. He sees the invisible. He feels the intangible because he sees the other bowl there, and he's like, I can make it over there. And he achieves the impossible because he takes flight and he lands it.
Well, you know, there's a saying out there that you have to fake it before you make it. So I think that's where it's coming from. If you can actually get yourself into the state of mind as if you've already achieved something and feel it and visualize it, then you're actually there. It's almost like you're tricking your mind to go, I'm already there. And if you're into the laws of attraction, then a like attracts a like, and
right,
there you have it, you know. So I think positive people always have that wild imagination, if you will. They have an ability to see things that aren't currently there, and they
believe in themselves
enough.
Take the risk and go for it.
Yeah.
I love it.
USALuxuryDirect.com. 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 Top name brands from around the world, sold at discounted prices. Hundreds of items to choose from. Put Humanitarian Radio in the coupon zone for a 10% discount at USALuxuryDirect.com.
So we want to thank our sponsor, USA Luxury Direct. As you know, this show is run strictly on donations, and we appreciate them supporting our cause and helping us shout out some good news around the world. If you have a chance, go check out USALuxuryDirect.com and put in the code word Humanitarian Radio, and they'll give you an extra discount. Do you have a great idea for a product and you don't know how to get it made? Call Artistic Journey. They'll help you find your way to getting your new products made and into the marketplace. Need a free consultation? No problem. Need artwork and graphics? No problem. Need your idea turned into something wonderful that the whole world can use? Call Janie at Artistic Journey to help you get through this process. It's not as hard as you think. With 20 years of experience, Artistic Journey can pave the way for your product to get into the hands of people around the world. Call Artistic Journey today, 941-780-2538.
So it's time for some good news from around the world.
This is probably one of my favorite parts of the show because I get to look up and find really cool things that are happening and neat things that people are doing. And so I found this one story out of Atlanta, Georgia. There is a homeless shelter in Atlanta, and what they're doing is if you're staying at the shelter, you also have to contribute some time to the community, okay, in exchange for your room and board. But their community that they have to spend time with is on the rooftop of the building of this shelter. And what they have to do on the rooftop is they have to work the gardens that they've planted, planter boxes up there, with all kinds of gardening stuff. So what they're saying is that they feel like it's two things that are happening. First of all, they're teaching these people that are homeless people that there is a way to grow their own food. These guys are from the city. They grow their own food and they can self-sustain.
Mm-hmm.
Furthermore, they're growing all of the food for the shelter right on the roof, all the vegetables and all the fruits.
Right, right. So it's got a dual purpose.
So they're feeding the people within. And then the other thing that they let these guys do that are participating in this program is they actually let them feed the other people that are coming into the home that don't know about this program yet. they let them feed them. So they get the, you know, the feeling of we grew this and we just fed you. And they get that self-satisfying, you know, we did a really good thing.
Now, it's amazing if you can see this photo. I'll describe it to you. There's basically a lot of planter boxes all across this rooftop. And they're large planter boxes. They're probably about 4 feet by 6 feet. And they're probably about a foot deep with soil. And they're just spread across this entire flat roof of an apartment building.
Yeah.
But what's so amazing about that is that you can utilize these areas like a rooftop that gets plenty of sun, and I'm sure they can water it, and they probably have some plastic on the bottom so that way it won't
damage the roof. Yeah, so let me tell you this. They have 80 garden beds on the roof.
Wow.
They produce carrots, kale, squash, and a whole bunch of other vegetables. The first harvest from the garden produced 55 pounds of produce. That's a lot of produce, 55 pounds.
That's amazing.
Isn't that cool? So bravo to these guys. Very creative. It's an award-winning program in their community. And what the people who run the place say, everything we do here involves our residents. They get job training from doing things like this, whether it's helping the human heart or whether it's growing food. They're all working, and none of them feel like they're getting a free handout.
And so, and that makes a huge difference, I think, because
because
now they feel like
they feel
a self
valuable.
Of pride. Yeah, that they're not just begging. They're like, listen, I'll earn my keep. Just give me something to do.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay,
right.
So this is another really cool story. Love this story. You know when you go to a restaurant and there's kids there and they give them the little paper to color on?
Box of crayons.
They give them a box. Mm-hmm. A lot of people leave those boxes behind. At a certain point, they're considered unusable and they're discarded. Okay,
the crayons are. Okay.
So this gentleman decided that he and his kids were going to start a fundraising company called the Crayon Initiative. And what they do is they go around and they collect all these crayons that are used from all these restaurants. Their restaurants are saving crayons for them now. They bring them home. They melt them in these big vats on the kitchen counter. They put all the red ones together, all the yellow ones together, that kind of thing.
Okay.
And they're remelting crayons in the shape of triangles so that children with disabilities can hold the crayon. And they're giving all these crayon sets to children's hospitals around the country.
Wow.
So they're recycling crayons. They're making them in a shape that the kids can hold that do have disabilities. And as a result, they are bringing them all over the place.
How cool is that? So they're making them a different shape. So
they can
really
hold them better. Yep.
Wow.
So far, they've been doing this for a year. And so far, they've given out 2,000 new boxes of crayons with their children's shaped crayons to Children's Hospital. Very, very cool. What a great thing for a family to do.
And for them to think of that, you know, for them to think of that. Instead of discarding these crayons, you're like, you know, giving them to kids.
Well, they came up with the idea 3 years ago. It's a gentleman named Brian Ware. And he decided to call it the Crayon Initiative, and it's now a nonprofit organization, and they repurpose old crayons.
Hmm.
Way cool. Love that story. This story comes from Beirut, Lebanon. There is a photo of a father who is selling pens in order to feed his family. He's walking the streets, and he's got a handful of pens, but he has a sleeping daughter over his shoulder. And somebody saw this picture of this guy, and they tracked him down. Within 30 minutes of finding him, they learned that he was trying to raise money, right? This is how he makes his living. He doesn't have a job. He sells pens. Like, literally, he's got a handful of, like, five big pens, okay? So right after somebody saw this online, 30 minutes later, over $120,000 ended up being raised in 48 hours for this family because 30 minutes later, somebody put up a GoFundMe campaign for this father so that he could feed his children. And it's pretty wild. They raised $120,000 in 48 hours to change this man's life. Bravo.
That is unbelievable.
Isn't that amazing?
That is definitely unbelievable. And the fact that, we live in a society now that things can happen so quickly and people can connect with people so quickly that if you put out a need, people can instantly help with PayPal and, instant money transactions.
Yeah.
That you know, back in the day, you'd be like, well, I don't know who this guy is. How do I reach him? And how do we know it's going to get to him and all this? And at this point, it's like, no, it got right to him within 48 hours that he raised 100,000.
4,500 people contributed within 48 hours. Now, bringing that up, I would really like to say, if we don't raise the money for Mike's surgery, which is just...
No, you mean when we do.
Just under $20,000, it would be such an amazing shame. Shame on us, shame on everyone who's listening, because, you know, you're raising $120,000 for people far away, and we're trying to just raise $20 for local. Help us out, people.
We're
going
to be able to do it.
Behind us.
Yes. I'm positive that we are going to be able to do it.
I'm putting a challenge out there. I'm looking for 10 people to each donate $1,000, and that would take care of his first surgery. I'm putting out that challenge. I'll put up the first 1,000. Who's going to match me? I need 9 more people.
Let's get it done.
Let's make it happen. Okay, so I'll get off that soapbox, but come on, help me out, peeps. Now, this next story, really awesome as well. These firefighters responded to a guy in Florida that had had a heart attack while he was cutting his lawn. Bummer, hate to hear that happening. But these guys were so cool that the ambulance came and picked up the gentleman, brought him to the hospital, and 4 firefighters stayed and finished cutting the guy's grass. He was halfway cut through his front lawn, and
right.
You know, there's like 3 feet of grass there. So these firefighters stayed. They swept the driveway. They did all the trimming, and they finished the lawn before they went back to the station.
That is awesome.
That's so cool. But you see, it just goes to show you there's little tiniest things that doesn't take anything but a little bit of effort from you. And you can really make dramatic differences in people's lives. It's amazing the tiniest little thing that you have to do.
Yes, and you know, these guys could easily said, no, that's not my job. You know, my job isn't to cut this guy's grass. But obviously, that was something that triggered a heart attack for this guy. So he's obviously very concerned about his lawn and wants to keep it well. And I'm sure when he got back, you know, guys like this would come back and be like, I still got to cut it. Even though I just had a heart attack, they'd
exactly.
still be out there trying to cut their lawn.
Exactly.
So the fact that these guys went and cut it for him,
handled
it's
it.
Like, look, don't deal with that for a week.
Relax.
You know? Relax for a week.
Get yourself back into shape.
I know if that were my dad would be right back
no,
out there trying to cut
it.
The lawn again. Like,
you
I still
it.
Need to get it cut. What are the people going to say?
Yeah.
So, good job, guys. So this is a song that I recorded sometime last year, and just recently I put it out on Facebook, an acoustic version of it. It's called Get in Tune, and it's a song about get in tune to what you think, say, and do. As we focus on those things, it's really amazing what starts to happen because we start catching ourselves. Am I thinking something negative? Am I saying something negative? You know, are my actions something that I don't really believe in, but it's a knee-jerk reaction. So as we get in tune and start to focus on what we are saying and doing and thinking, like I said, amazing things happen. So check this out. It's a song called Get in Tune.
Wanna be the stone that is thrown into the lake of your soul. Let the ripple effect help you connect. Be the stone that is thrown into the lake of your soul. Let the ripple effect help you connect. To your higher self, no need for someone else. You've got the answers within yourself. Yeah, your higher self is always there to help. To guide you to your ultimate success. Get in tune now to what you think, you say, and do. Don't be fooled now for everything, starting now with you. You gotta get in tune. You gotta get in tune. Wanna be the rake that is placed in your garden of weeds. Rearrange the place and plant some new seeds. Be the rake that is placed in your garden of weeds. Rearrange the place and plant some new seeds. For the past is not the here and now. You're worth much more than you allow. Your past is not the here and now. You've got a shot to make yourself proud. Get in tune now to what you think, you say, and do. Don't be fooled now, for everything will start with you. You gotta get in tune. You gotta
affirmations wrapped in pop rock songs.
Give me that best case scenario.
It's motivational musician Saint Tone. Check out his latest live show, The Rise Up Experience, at www.sainttone.com.
Mama said we can always hug it out.
Pick up his latest CD, Outside the Box, available on iTunes.
We choose to end.
For music with a positive message, check out sainttone.com.
Here are some events that may be happening in your area. Check out events calendar on humanitarianradio.com. On September 4th to the 7th, we have the Authentic Ashram Experience, which is in Yorkshire, England. On September 10th and 13th, in the Joshua Tree, California, comes the Bhakti Fest. 9:15 and 9:17, Green Sustainability Expo in Los Angeles. I would imagine that would be very interesting. On September 18th to the 22nd, we have a summit in Dana Point, California, that's all about spiritual development. The 19th is the Day of Peace celebration with our own Saint Tone performing at Fountain Valley, California.
Mm-hmm.
And on September 20th, No Kid Hungry, there's a 5K run in Cranberry, Pennsylvania. That's to raise money for children in need there. And on September 21st, worldwide celebration, International Day of Peace. And that's our events. If you're looking for something to do, look on our calendar. Plan ahead and do some of these great events. We've got some coming up in October in Hawaii and Spain and Africa. Yeah, we should actually think about maybe next year putting one together for the radio station to go to.
It sounds like a plan.
That would be fun. Awesome. Enjoy your day. Check out the calendar.
Okay, and we are back with Gillette Jai. She is the founder of the Jai Institute for Parenting. How are you, Gillette?
I'm great, Tony. Thanks for asking.
You know, I was reading your bio, and it's really interesting on parenting these days. I was raised by an Italian family, so you know, you can just imagine what an Italian family is like. And I'm reading your description here on parenting, and it's like today kids are so different than they were when I was being raised, and it's just socially it's so different. And I'm just curious on what made you start doing it this way and what made you start this whole course?
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, it's such a great question. So we really started because I had a two-year-old and he was tantruming. He was crying a lot. And that sent me into an inquiry of what do I do? You know, how will we discipline? I don't know how in your Italian family, but in my family we used, you know, methods of dominance, of control, just,
yes,
you know, timeouts or whatever it was. So I started looking into that. You know, it just didn't feel right to me. It didn't feel right to put him in timeout. I didn't, you know, certainly not yelling. That didn't feel good. And so I went on a journey to find what really worked and that was peaceful and connected us. And so I took a course in nonviolent parenting, which was really funny at the time because I don't consider myself a violent person.
No,
but
go ahead. Yeah.
Nonviolent communication, which stems from Marshall Rosenberg's work. And so I started learning that and applying some of those tools with my son, and it was amazing. And it just flourished from there. I was so fascinated by what happens when you can actually just get on a child's level and connect with them. And the cooperation and the just really rich connection that comes from that, blows me away every time. So from there, I became a parent educator. I went and studied, become a parent educator, and I thought, everybody, I want to share this information with the world. I want every parent to know how to do this when they're struggling in parenting and at any age. And so I did that. And I started working with parents and started coaching parents and really developing this process with them where they can really feel great about connecting with their child so that their child feels safe, secure to come to them with anything. Even teenagers who have a lot of, you know, stuff going on, they can come to their parents and share anything. They have a deep connection with their parents. And there's cooperation and there's peace in the home. So that's really where it all started.
Yeah, you know, it's really interesting. I grew up in a very large Italian family with a lot of aunts and uncles. And I remember there was one aunt who used to scream at the kids constantly. But she had gotten to the point where she couldn't scream any louder, and the kids just sort of ignored her. They're just like, we're so used to you screaming that it has no effect. Then I had another aunt who would speak very quietly to her kids. So anytime she just raised her voice just a little, the kids freaked out. They're like, what's going on? And I was like, wow, that's really, you know, this was just me being an observer because I was one of the oldest of the family. And so I got to see a lot of the cousins get raised. And it was an interesting dynamic to see how the kids responded to different acts. You know, if you're constantly screaming doesn't have an effect on you anymore. But if you never scream and then you scream once, huge effect. So when you say you started learning how to connect with the kids now, was it something that you just had to take their perspective in mind or really understand where they're coming from? And how do you do that with a 2-year-old or a 3-year-old or a 4-year-old? I mean, obviously when they get older, it's a little easier.
Yeah, it's such a great question. Yeah, so, and what you're sharing too about the yelling. So what we train on in our programs, and we train parenting coaches on this now, is that, you know, in the brain, in the human brain, when you yell, it puts you into this state, the brain into a state of fight, flight, or freeze, right? So that is, you know, so the child's kind of already, you know, in a different part of their brain. They're in their, you know, lower level of their brain. And they're coming from that place, and they're also mirroring the parent who's yelling too. So that really doesn't create the connection or the cooperation that you're really wanting. Back to brain science, we always go back to looking at how do we bring the front part of the brain, which is all about logic and reason and problem solving, it's where you can calm down, how do we bring that back online so we can actually connect, so they can connect with their child. So how do we do it? It's a whole process that we bring parents through. But what you just shared is actually a big part of the process. The biggest part is, yes, getting into the child's world through empathy. And empathy is the cornerstone of everything. And empathy means, you know, seeing life from another's perspective. So seeing life from your child's perspective. So parents might be very frustrated or, you know, their child just did something they can't even imagine. How could they do this? And they want to yell, but actually if you look at what's happening with your child or what are they needing, what time of the day is it, and just getting in their world and understanding what's going on and approaching them with empathy. You know, how are you feeling? What are you needing? It just makes a world of difference, and you can really establish connection during those moments.
So if someone were to sign up for your course, are there different courses for different age kids, saying like, hey, I have a 2-year-old or I have a 16-year-old. Is the concept the same or is it different? Is it a different approach?
You know, it's so interesting to me that it is the same with every age.
Okay.
So this is the same we have, and we just had some amazing moms of teenagers come through our program, and they started using the tools with a 16-year-old. She was using it with her 16-year-old daughter. And you know, everyone's texting these days, right? So she created a texting relationship with her daughter that she was just blown away by. She said, I can't believe the connection we have now. And, of course, the texting went on into the physical world, too. They talk so much more. But, it works with kids of any age.
Well, see, and that's interesting because you said texting and you know, now you're speaking to the child the way they're speaking to their friends. So
exactly.
It's almost like, you know, back in the day, it's like, you know, your mom's going to call you on the phone and go, hi, we're going to talk for an hour on the phone because that's how you talk to all your friends. And now it's texting. So it's almost it almost puts a veil over that you're a mom and I'm the daughter and I can't really talk to you about these things. But through a text, I can talk to you because this is the way I talk to my friends. So I could see how that could easily work. You know, just opening that up. And now she's starting, your mom's starting to get a better perspective of what her teenage child might need. You know, it's interesting. I had a friend of mine who was a school teacher, and during the parent conferences every year, the parents would say, I just don't understand her. or I just don't understand him. You know, they're 14, 15, and the teacher would understand him so much better. It's like because she's with them every day, and she understands how the kids interact with each other, so then she gets to speak their language.
Yes, I guess so much so. Yes, I love you sharing that. Yeah, exactly. And people just want to be heard. You know, even working with the adults, we work with adults in our program, and really a lot of us as kids, as much, you know, our parents did the best they could with what they had, but a lot of us didn't feel heard. We just didn't feel like we were really gotten as children. And that is invaluable to a person, to a child. To really just, you know, to feel like, wow, you know, she really gets me. And mom really understands this. And it just makes a world of difference in parenting.
Yeah, and I think what happens, too, is I think a lot of parents, let's face it, you know, they just usually raise their kids the way they were raised. So if spanking was spanking, then it's like, yeah, I used to get spanked, so you're going to get spanked. Or if you were put in time out for an hour, then I'm going to put you in time out. That's what happened to me. And I turned out okay. And even though they might not have turned out okay, or they are still holding on to some grudges because of the way they were raised, you know, it stays with you. You know, it's kids are very impressionable. So you think it's like, ah, he's a kid, he'll get over it. And then later on in life, you realize they have a problem with relationships, or they have a problem with someone screaming because it reminds them of their parents fighting or something, you know? So it's like, it comes up, and it continually comes up. So you could be 30, 40, 50 years old and still have these impressions of being a child that are reminders.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. And that's one of my greatest passions in our program is shifting those cycles for parents right now. So what we know is it's possible, and they can shift the patterns from, you know, changing generational patterns from how you were parented to how you really want to consciously parent your child. So that, you know, the knee-jerk reaction is to just parent, like you're saying, with, you know, if I was spanked, I'm spanking. Or if I was yelled at, I yell. Those are, because it's really embedded in our brains, those really knee-jerk reactions. And our goal is to really shift those patterns. What we see and the results we see is that parents are shifting the patterns now and consciously saying, oh, when I'm, you know, when my child does this, what do I really want to do? How do I really want to parent my child? And it's really exciting. And I know that there's a lot of studies, and we certainly reference, say, like Bruce Lipton, the biology of belief, but we reference people in epigenetics and who are studying that actually the brain can change at any time and transform. So these brain patterns can change at any time. And it is super exciting to me when we see this actually happening with parents.
Oh, absolutely. I could see how that would be something that... So now, do you find that a lot of the parents that come in have already tried their traditional ways, or have already tried the ways that they were raised and went, this isn't working, my kid's not, you know, he's not... taking the discipline very well, if it's timeout or if it's spanking? It's like, yeah, I spank them and they look at me and they just go, whatever, I'm over it. And they do it again. Like it doesn't have any effect. So now they're looking for alternatives. Is that what you normally find? Or do you find people that haven't done what they were raised or are using the same techniques that they were raised with and are saying, I know I don't want to spank my child, but I know I need to discipline them. So I'm looking for a solution. I'm just curious to see, like, what percentage of parents you get are the ones that that take your program.
Yeah, it's such a great question. Yeah, we find both. Most, I would say 90% of the parents that come to us have tried, you know, the way, or maybe, yeah, probably not 90% have tried how they were parented and it's not working.
Gotcha.
And they're frustrated and they don't really know. They know that there's something different, but they don't know what it is. And I remember talking with one parent who said, you know, I have three kids, and I'm yelling, and I go to bed at night, and my head hits the pillow, and I know this is not why I had kids. This is not the feeling that I really wanted to pass on to my kids either. And she just had this guilt feeling when she went to sleep, and she knew that she wanted better for her kids. She wanted another way, and that's how parents come to us. And also, they also realize that we have one chance, right? Like, our kids are growing, and you raise children, so you can see it every day, right? So they're growing, and we have this amazing opportunity as parents to really plant seeds with them and to really guide them into becoming these awesome beings that they already are. So that's when parents come to us. They realize, they say, you know what? Whatever, let's do it. Because this is our one chance. You know, I'm watching my child grow, and he's 8 years old, and he's going to be 10 in a couple years. And now's the time when I really want to understand how I can parent my child consciously.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you know, they do grow up quick, and everyone says that, but they really do turn around very quickly. Now, I noticed in your bio that you haven't just worked with people in the U.S., but you've worked with people in Canada, Brazil, South Africa, U.K., Dubai. Do you find that parenting is different, or is it the same around the world?
Yeah, it's absolutely different around the world, and it's fascinating for us to work with coaches when we train parenting coaches all over. And so we work with the cultural differences as well, and they bring those to the table. It's very different, and the rules are all different. But what's interesting is that no matter where our coaches are, if they're in Dubai or Canada or Africa, South Africa, this system works, and it's amazing. We just trained a coach in Dubai, and we're actually training one right now in Saudi Arabia. That's our newest one. And she is so excited. And just to watch them actually use the tools and have this deep connection, and they get so excited by what they're learning. And it's just really, it really speaks volumes that we're all one, right? Like, we come from these different cultures, and we have all these cultural differences. But when you talk about a parent connecting with a child, we're all one.
Right, right. It's a universal truth. So there's no boundaries in that. A human being is a human being, and they all want the same things. They want to be respected or understood, or want to be able to communicate with each other. So that's universal. Gotcha.
Yes.
So within the 10, from what I understand, it's a 10-step process. Within the 10-step process, do you get progress reports as people move forward? And how long of a course is it?
Yeah, so the course itself, so we train parenting coaches to go out and help parents and have their own businesses helping parents. So that course is 24 weeks. And
okay.
So in the first part of that course, we go through the 10-step process for them and their families. And they start seeing results in the first 3 to 4 weeks of that. And then the next part of the course is 10 weeks where we teach them how to coach what they just went through. And in the last 4 weeks, they're learning how to enroll their clients. And they already start enrolling their clients. We have really funny stories because we're dealing with parents, and parents really need help. They need guidance. And so we had, actually it was in our first group, it was over 3 years ago, and she was going through the course, and her neighbor ran up and chased her down the driveway and said, "I need what you're doing. Help me, please." So as our, you know, coaches are going through the course, they get excited because they start seeing the results, and then naturally they're attracting all of these parents who really need help.
Absolutely right. They're seeing that their child, or they're seeing the relationship has changed with their child, and now they say, "Well, what are you guys doing differently than what we're doing?" Because no one ever really talks about it. Like, "Well, I discipline this way, or I discipline that way." I think it's when problems start to occur that it's like, "I'm at wit's end. I don't know what to do with my kid anymore." And the other thing I found is that you can raise two children exactly the same way, and one totally gets it, and one is rebellious the entire way. So
Yes. You
need to change the way you teach, because it's almost like being a teacher in a classroom. I'm going to teach you your ABCs. Well, not everyone learns the same way. So some kids are going to get it a different way. They're more visual than audio. So I'm sure that that's part of the things that you address, correct?
Yes, absolutely. And one of the things that you mentioned, too, is that people don't talk about it. And there is, you know, when we talk about parenting, there is a lot of shame there. Because we don't, you know, parenting is done one-on-one. It's done behind closed doors, mostly. And if there's something going on that you're not happy about, or, you know, we're not perfect as parents, or maybe you yelled a lot that day, you're not going to run down the street and tell your neighbor about, you know, "God, I really treated my child poorly today."
Exactly.
And, yeah, so there's a lot of shame around it. And what is really unique about our community is that we are very authentic and we come to it with empathy. So we really have empathy for everybody, and we know that parenting is one of the toughest jobs on the planet, or none. And so, you know, whatever's happening right now, parents are really doing their best.
Well, you know, I think it's really awesome that you have a course like this for parents to take, because let's face it, most people just say, well, there wasn't a course when my grandparents were around, and there wasn't a course for my parents, so you just do what you do. And it's like, yeah, but not everyone gets it right, and not everyone does it the best that they can do it. You know, it's like we've all learned to find food and to find ways to eat and stuff, but it's like there's easier ways and there's more efficient ways to do things. So now we have enough case studies to show, hey, this stuff stays with you. It's not like, the kid will get over it. You know, he's five. He won't remember this. And then, you know, 50 years later, the kid or the person is still dealing with issues that occurred when they were 5 years old. So
absolutely.
We've learned that parenting and raising a child, it stays with you. So, you know, my thought is why not read the books? Why not take the courses to find out more information about it? Because no baby comes with a manual. Like, this is the way to raise your kid. And also, once you start raising them one way, they might learn a different way and go, oh, you know what? Your child doesn't learn this way. He learns this way. So it's almost like addressing the school system the same way. Not every child's going to learn the same way. So you need to be adaptable to say, okay, I need to change the way I'm communicating, because one child's getting it and the other child's not getting it. I'm speaking the same language and I'm doing the same exact thing. But, you know, I've seen it. I've seen it in relationships where one child is a saint and the other one's a devil. You're like, what do we do wrong with this one? Like, nothing. It's just a different child. You just have to communicate differently with them. So what is your... Go ahead.
Yeah, and you also said, something I wanted to touch on. You were saying how, you know, you retain a five-year-old, what happened to you as a five-year-old, right? Like, you retain whatever happened to you, and we see it later on. People are in therapy or they're dealing with their childhood issues. Mm-hmm. And what we know about the unconscious mind is that it accounts for over 90% of our behavior. So a lot of the unconscious patterning that we got was between the ages of 0 to 7. So when we work with parents in the program, too, that's something we address. And that's why we can make the shift, is because we really work with that unconscious patterning that's left over from the way they were parented.
Right, right. So tell me what your goals are for the future. I know that you have a fundraiser that you are about to start, and tell me a little bit about that, about someone that's in your course.
Yes, I'd love to tell you about her. So she, this wonderful woman who is in Texas, her name's Jennifer Schiavo, and she's in our course now. She is so passionate. This is her calling, to be a parenting coach. And she has cancer. And she just actually, when she first came in the course, the cancer was gone, or she was in a remission somewhat. And last week, she found another lump. And so she went in, and now she's needing a double mastectomy, and she has very aggressive breast cancer. And our community is really gathering around her to support her during this time. We know that, you know, the work that she is here to do in this world is so incredibly valuable. And she has young children, very young children. She just had a baby last year. And her kids are kind of confused by, you know, what goes on and going through this whole process. So we're really here as a community to support her and her family with whatever they're needing right now.
Great, great. Well, you know, and if you're listening to this, you can see that there is a link where you can go and learn more about her and make a donation to help her and her family going through this difficult time. I really want to thank you for taking the time to come out and tell us more about what you're doing. Give us the website where people can get a hold of you.
Sure. Our website is JAI, instituteforparenting.com.
Excellent. And the courses that they take, are they online courses, or do they need to live in your area, or is it something they can do via the internet?
Yeah, so this is something that they can do through the internet. They're all online courses, and we've designed them that way because we know parents are super busy, And to travel to Los Angeles for 24 weeks is not that doable.
Right.
So
right.
They're all online courses.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, I want to thank you again, Gillette, for taking the time to give us the exposure to this great program. And I wish you all the luck and the success in the future.
Thank you so much, Tony. It's so great being with you here.
So every week we like to dedicate a song to our guests. And this week the song I chose is Daydreamer by Saint Tone. Was Saint Tone with Daydreamer. If you'd like to hear some other positive music, go to www.sainttone.com. That's S-A-I-N-T TONE.com.
You know, if you're looking for a little spark on your any day, you can always go back to humanitarianradio.com and check out any of our previous shows. We do keep them on there so that we can inspire you to find some good news for your soul. Do something great for someone else in your world.
Yeah, and if you know of a story or if you know of someone that should be on our show, by all means, connect with us on Facebook at Humanitarian Radio or go to our website, humanitarianradio.com, and reach out to us. Let us know any good news that you have out there that you want to share with the world.
Make it a good week.
We'll see you next time. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Humanitarian Radio, shouting out some good news for your soul.